This episode of The Fix has been made possible with support from the Wealthy Her Network, established to champion the diversity of women's wealth with the end goal of better servicing female investors and returning a greater impact for the benefit of everyone. Just a bit of an advisory, this episode contains sensitive themes around child sexual abuse and trafficking. If you have kids around, you might want to put some headphones on or save this episode for later.
5 years ago, I received a phone call that would change my life. I remember so vividly that day. It was about this time of year, and I was sitting in my office. I remember the sun streaming through the window, and my phone rang. And I picked it up, and it was two federal agents asking for my help in identifying a little girl featured in hundreds of child sexual abuse images they had found online. They had just started working the case, but what they knew was that her abuse had been broadcast to the world for years on dark websites dedicated to the sexual abuse of children.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. Since 2004, reports of child sexual abuse material online have increased by 10,000%. This year, in the United States alone, more than 45 million images and videos of suspected child sexual abuse were reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Today we're hearing from Julie Cordua, CEO of Thorn, an organization that builds products, programs, resources, and campaigns to tackle online child sexual abuse. Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore co-founded the organization after learning about the issue from a documentary highlighting what was happening to children in Cambodia.
Now, this is about the time when I start talking about politics that the internet trolls tell me to stick to my day job. So I'd like to talk about my day job. My day job is as the chairman and the co-founder of Thorn. We built software to fight human trafficking and the sexual exploitation of children. And that's our core mission. My other day job is that of the father of two, a two-month-old and a two-year-old. And as part of that job that I take very seriously, I believe that it is my effort to defend their right to pursue happiness and to ensure a society and government that defends it as well.
Since its launch in 2012, the organization has gone from strength to strength. And this year, Julie shared the stage with incredible changemakers for TED's Audacious Project, which identifies the boldest and most actionable ideas for global change. Thorn was selected as one of eight projects that will share in more than $280 million in funding. In this episode, Julie will share how Thorn is working to eliminate online child sexual abuse. She'll also detail the magnitude of the problem they're trying to solve and what organizations and parents can do to tackle this issue.
So Thorn is a nonprofit that is focused on building technology to fight online child sexual abuse. We were actually born about 8 years ago. Our founders are Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore, and they were starting their philanthropic journey looking at the rise in child sex trafficking. And they originally started because of what they found out was happening in Southeast Asia, but when they started diving into the issue, they learned more about the landscape in the United States and understood kind of, you know, if we want to tackle an issue this big and this complex, we should maybe start here in our backyard. And so when they started their philanthropic work, they were looking at the issue of child sex trafficking in the US. And one thing that stood out was the role technology was playing in really kind of creating more accessibility to this crime, broadening the marketplace, obviously increasing risk for children. and they started focusing in this area. I joined them about 2 years into their work, and we spent about 8 months really narrowing in on what is the missing piece to this work to combat child sex trafficking.
To dig further into the issue, Julie spoke with more than 100 experts in the field from all around the world. This included NGO leaders, politicians, and law enforcement officials. From these conversations, Julie and her team at Thorn learned that technology played a critical role in perpetuating the crime of child sex abuse and trafficking.
And yet, it hasn't kept up as part of the response. And so criminals and abusers are using it to exploit children, to normalize this behavior. And some children are becoming more vulnerable because of technology. And yet, what is the force that is going to ensure that the best technology is deployed on behalf of these children? That force was missing. And because it was missing, these markets had just exploded online for the buying and selling of children for sex or for the spread of child sexual abuse material.
Child sexual abuse on the internet is far more prevalent than most people realize. But before Thorn was established, there was no technology designed to directly address this epidemic.
We said there is this huge gap in this field, and we are uniquely positioned to do this work. And we were uniquely positioned for a variety of reasons. One, because our founders and Ashton, who most know him as an actor, is also a technology investor. And this is part of his kind of background and passion is technology and innovation. And I had a background in technology as well. And so being able to kind of bring that to bear and learn how to channel the talent of the private sector towards this issue was the original idea. And when we started Thorn, we originally thought we would be just kind of an innovation hub. We would look at this issue through the lens of technology, and we would come up with new ways that technology could be deployed. And then others would deploy it. We thought law enforcement would take the idea, tech companies would take the idea. And it became very apparent very quickly that that was not the case. That one of the reasons why technology innovation hadn't been used in this space was because law enforcement didn't really have technology capacity to even maintain top-notch products. And tech companies, it's not their business, right? Their business is to run whatever their core business is. And anything to do with this work is kind of a side project. And so, you know, about 4 years ago, we decided that we would actually become a product organization. And we started taking the ideas that we were coming up with that were actually working. We have this rapid prototyping model, so we can tell if an idea is really not great, or if it does work. And if it works, we actually productize it and roll it out to users and maintain it and grow it and evolve it and make it better. And in the end of the day, if it's not working, end it.
Thorn's tools are now being used in 38 countries to help find children who are victims of sex trafficking and abuse. One of its products is called Spotlight, a web-based tool that has helped identify over 31,000 victims of human trafficking. Here, Julie shares with us the scale and complexity of the problem they're trying to solve.
Thorn works at the intersection of any form of technology and child sexual abuse. So that includes where technology plays a role in child sex trafficking, which is not everywhere, but some places. The spread of child sexual abuse material, we're starting to look at things like live streaming sex abuse, the role of cryptocurrency in this, and other things. But if we look just at that one section of that work, which is the spread of child sexual abuse material, which are images and videos documenting the abuse of a child, it is really hard to measure exactly how big this issue is, but we know it's big. It's hard to measure because it is inherently a hidden crime. So if it was easy to measure, you could bet that no one's trying to hide what they're doing. But all we can measure is what we can see, which means we usually can only see what people are really bad at hiding, which is only a portion of what's actually transpiring. But the portion we can see is big enough to be alarming and make us, you know, incredibly concerned about the full size of the market. So this is a truly global crime. We're talking about images and videos. So that content can be spread around the world in seconds and it is accessible, and the market can include anyone in the world who has an internet connection and an internet connected device, right? Which is most of the world today. But the places we can see and provide some measures. So the United States is one of the only countries in the world that actually requires tech companies to report any abuse material they find on their platforms. So it gives us kind of a case study of, okay, how much material are we seeing in circulation on these platforms? And in the US alone last year, so in 2018, more than 45 million images and videos of child sexual abuse were reported to the National Center. And that's a lot, but 98% of that came from only 12 companies. And so we're just looking at this tiny little portion of companies. Granted, the companies have the bulk of content, Facebook, Google, and others, but still, there are hundreds of companies around the world that host user-generated content. Each of them should be looking for abuse material, taking it down and reporting it. Because if we're just looking at this tiny subset in one country, one internet-connected country, we are seeing just the tip of the iceberg.
People have a tendency to believe that the crime of child sex abuse is isolated to developing countries. And while this is a global issue, the United States remains one of the largest producers and consumers of child abuse content in the world. It's important to understand the true nature and urgency of this crime and how it impacts everyone.
And that's why I'm using the term child sexual abuse material. In law, what this is called is child pornography. We don't call it that because it has absolutely no relation to pornography and never should be mistaken as something that could be legal. This is the documentation of the violent assault on children and very young children. More than 60% of the images and videos that have been analyzed in the US are children under the age of 12, and most include extreme acts of violence. And so we are taking on this battle from the technology side for a couple of reasons. One is those are the data points that are going to help us find these kids. That is representing abuse that is going on behind closed doors, but it is out there on the internet. We should be using it to get to these children faster. But also its sheer existence is starting to normalize these behaviors around the world. This type of content is used for grooming children online. The sheer existence and volume of the content is detrimental to our society. Above and beyond the most obvious reason is because it is the abuse of the child. We have to, obviously, as a society, address that part. And we know there are amazing organizations doing that. We're just trying to add on the technology part, which is saying we cannot, as a society, sit back and let this online marketplace grow and begin to just normalize and re-victimize these children over and over again.
From creating products to research and campaigns, Julie shares how Thorn is innovating to combat the issue of online child sex abuse.
We look at our role in this issue in three different ways. Again, if we just look at what is the role of technology in child sexual abuse and how can it be a part of the solution, we look at three different angles. One is how can you use technology to find children faster and stop abuse? Two is how do you use technology to enable platforms to stop the spread of this content? And three is how do you actually change behaviors to reduce the either vulnerabilities of children or the tendency for people to pursue this material online? The first two are very much software that we build. And the third is more behavior change and awareness campaigns. One set of our products are products for law enforcement to help them use publicly available data to identify where abuse is happening and find the children faster. And then the second area of our software is focused on, we have a new product called Safer, which is providing companies, normally small to medium-sized companies, because most large ones have their own infrastructure, but small to medium-sized companies with the tools they need to identify child sexual abuse material, pull it down, and actually stop the upload of abuse material.
Today, Thorn leads the Thorn Technology Task Force, a group composed of more than 20 technology companies like Facebook and Twitter who are committed to fighting child exploitation. The task force collaborates with NGOs, policymakers, law enforcement, and the private sector to find innovative ways to end child exploitation. Here, Julie shares how leaders and organizations can support Thorn's mission.
One is for just an individual, go to our website. There's a ton you can learn, a ton of information you can share with others. But if you are a company or someone in a position of influence in a country, our big push right now is that every single company in the world that hosts any kind of user-generated content, if you let people upload images, upload videos, chat, if it is public or private, you have, we believe, an obligation to ensure your technology is not complicit in the abuse of a child. And you can do that by implementing these tools to find and stop the spread of this material. And so we have a website for our new product. It's getsafer.io. You can go learn about the product we offer to do this. But I will say, you know, I don't believe most companies are trying to not act in a good manner. We have met so many entrepreneurs, and most of them think, this is crazy. Who would do this? This is horrific. We definitely have to stop this. So the first hurdle is just a level of knowledge that this is happening. And when I say public or private, this could happen on apps like TikTok and Kick, and we know, you know, Facebook and Twitter, all those companies know and they take action to take it down. Any app where you're allowing people to publicly share, but also business apps, right? So think about something like Slack. That isn't published to the world, but there's definitely communities where people can trade images, you know, Dropbox. And there are international versions of all of those. Any company that has images and videos needs to be doing this work.
Due to the increased use of mobile devices and greater access to broadband internet, children have become more accessible to traffickers and offenders through unprotected social media profiles and online game forums. Here, Julie shares how we can keep our kids safe and the importance of having an open dialogue at home.
What we do know is that the fastest growing portion of child sexual abuse content online is actually children taking pictures of themselves. And sometimes it starts very innocently, where maybe they took it for a boyfriend and then it went viral. And sometimes it can start by them being groomed online to do this, and then they get kind of extorted to take worse and worse pictures. But it is the fastest growing portion of this content globally. And so we have to have a different conversation with our children. This hasn't been a generational shift. It isn't like, you know, slowly happening. It is very quickly overnight. We've got a generation of kids who are digital natives. They grew up with a phone in their hand. This is part of them growing up. They're experiencing their sexuality in a totally different way than we did. And I think it's a lot of parents' instinct to be like, oh my God, don't do that. That's horrific. Ah, and freak out because we don't know how to handle it. What I would suggest is, one, take a deep breath. To have a very real conversation with your children before you ever put a device in their hand with a camera. Don't be scared of the real conversations, because guess what? If you don't have it, someone else is. And create a space where that child can talk to you, to someone else that they feel safe with who's an adult, so that if something does go sideways or someone approaches them, a boyfriend or someone they like or someone they don't know online, they are not scared and they don't feel a loyalty to that person. They feel a loyalty to someone that they can ask for help. We just have to recognize that our children are growing up in a very different world than we grew up in, and we have to create the space for conversation. A hard line of, no, don't do this. This is horrific. It just breeds secrecy and it breeds kind of rebellion. We have to really have different conversations with our kids.
The work that Julie and Ashton are doing to support children around the world is incredible. Because this is an online issue, it affects all of us, which means we all need to play a role in tackling it. If you haven't already, I encourage you to check out Thorn's website at thorn.org and look at the different ways that you can support their work. thank you for tuning into our episode today. If you're looking for new ways to support us, apart from listening to our show, you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also share and start a conversation on social media or your professional networks about any of the content that you've listened to today. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you all again next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.